Jesus came to the house where the young maiden was laid. And some people, they cried, for they knew she had died. But the Master, he said, "Do not cry, she's not dead." And he wrapped them up in the arms of God's love, and he told them she is whole.
Good morning, everyone. I am so happy to welcome everyone this morning to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconferenced prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com. And open to all. We're so delighted that you joined us as a participant in this Spiritual Aces. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's continue in joyful song with hymn number 135.
I know no life divided, oh Lord of life from you. And you is life provided for all mankind and me. I know no death, oh Father, because I live in you. Your life it is that frees us from death.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is, there is no death, only eternal life. The hymns that we're going to be coming up with will be hymn number 429 and 148. This morning, I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Holy Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Holy Bible, John. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Mark. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha cumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Luke. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. When he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, Arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Isaiah, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. Proverbs, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. 1 Corinthians, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Psalms, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Death, an illusion, the lie of life in matter, the unreal and untrue, the opposite of life. Matter has no life, hence it has no real existence. Mind is immortal, the flesh warring against spirit, that which frets itself free from one belief only to be fettered by another, until every belief of life, where life is not, yields to eternal life. Any material evidence of death is false, for it contradicts the spiritual facts of being. Life has no partnership with death. Sickness, sin, and death are not the fruits of life. They are inharmonies which truth destroys. If the belief in death were obliterated, and the understanding obtained that there is no death, this would be a tree of life known by its fruits. When it is learned that disease cannot destroy life, and that mortals are not saved from sin or sickness by death, this understanding will quicken into newness of life. It will master either a desire to die or a dread of the grave, and thus destroy the great fear that besets mortal existence. The relinquishment of all faith in death, and also the fear of its sting, would raise the standard of health and morals far beyond its present elevation, and would enable us to hold the banner of Christianity aloft with unflinching faith in God, in life eternal. Sin brought death, and death will disappear with the disappearance of sin. Man is immortal, and the body cannot die because matter has no life to surrender. The human concepts named matter, death, disease, sickness, and sin are all that can be destroyed. If it is true that man lives, this fact can never change in science to the opposite belief that man dies. Life is the law of soul, even the law of the spirit of truth, and soul is never without its representative. Man's individual being can no more die nor disappear in unconsciousness than can soul, for both are immortal. If man believes in death now, he must disbelieve in it when learning that there is no reality in death, since the truth of being is deathless. Death is but another phase of the dream that existence can be material. Nothing can interfere with the harmony of being, nor end the existence of man in science. The great difficulty lies in ignorance of what God is. God, life, truth, and love make man undying. Immortal mind governing all must be acknowledged as supreme in the physical realm, so-called, as well as in the spiritual. The author has healed hopeless organic disease and raised the dying to life and health through the understanding of God as the only life. It is a sin to believe that aught can overpower omnipotent and eternal life. And this life must be brought to light by the understanding that there is no death, as well as by other graces of spirit. Jesus said in John 8:51, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." The lonely precincts of the tomb gave Jesus a refuge from his foes, a place in which to solve the great problem of being. His 3 days' work in the sepulchre set the seal of eternity on time. He proved life to be deathless and love to be the master of hate. His disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulchre, whereas he was alive, demonstrating within the narrow tomb the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense. There were rock-ribbed walls in the way, and a great stone must be rolled from the cave's mouth. But Jesus vanquished every material obstacle, overcame every law of matter, and stepped forth from his gloomy resting place, crowned with the glory of a sublime success and everlasting victory. Our Master fully and finally demonstrated divine science in his victory over death and the grave. Jesus' deed was for the enlightenment of men and for the salvation of the whole world from sin, sickness, and death. Paul writes, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the seeming death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." 3 days after his bodily burial, he talked with his disciples. The persecutors had failed to hide immortal truth and love in a sepulchre. Glory be to God and peace to the struggling hearts. The universal belief in death is of no advantage. It cannot make life or truth apparent. Death will be found at length to be a mortal dream, which comes in darkness and disappears with the light. The resurrection of the great demonstrator of God's power was a proof of his final triumph over body and matter, and gave full evidence of divine science, evidence so important to mortals. The sinless joy, the perfect harmony and immortality of life, possessing unlimited divine beauty and goodness, without a single bodily pleasure or pain, constitutes the only veritable, indestructible man whose being is spiritual. This state of existence is scientific and intact, a perfection discernible only by those who have the final understanding of Christ in divine science. Death can never hasten this state of existence, for death must be overcome, not submitted to, before immortality appears. Question: what is life? Answer: life is divine principle, mind, soul, spirit. Life is without beginning and without end. Eternity, not time, expresses the thought of life, and time is no part of eternity. One ceases in proportion as the other is recognized. Time is finite. Eternity is forever infinite. Life is neither in nor of matter. What is termed matter is unknown to spirit, which includes in itself all substance, and is life eternal. Matter is a human concept. Life is divine mind. Life is not limited. Death and finiteness are unknown to life. If life ever had a beginning, it would also have an ending. The vesture of life is truth.